Well, we are in the last of a series that we call Thrive. And for the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at different things, ideas, whatever that might be, about helping us to thrive as Christians. We've had a scripture that sat at the baseline for this whole 8 weeks. And that scripture is this. It's found in John 15:5. From the Message version, it reads like this. This is Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you join with me and I with you, the relation is intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce nothing. That's been sort of like the baseline scripture we've been using. And I have to say, I have been incredibly encouraged by so many of you that have been finding new life and freshness in this series. In particular, after the service that we did around prayer and listening to God through Scripture, so many of you were saying, I heard God speak to me. And through forgiveness and a whole lot of the other ones, I've heard people say, God's at work in me. And it's not just a behavioural modification thing. It's not just positive thinking. It's God in me. And I'm just really encouraged to hear that because we are called to be transformed and continue to be transformed. And God is doing that with you and through you. So be encouraged that God is at work. Well, today we're looking at our last in the series. And today we're looking at this thing called gratitude. Gratitude. It's not a word that's spoken about a whole lot, is it? As a way into this morning, I sort of want to go to the opposite end of what gratitude is. And we're going to be looking at a little bit of the Philippians this morning. So Paul, who wrote to the church of Philippi, wrote to the church of Philippi, and he writes to us and speaks to us now. And there's a key scripture that I want us to get into, and it's a baseline for today. It's a very encouraging scripture. It's one of the best scriptures in the Bible. Here it is. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. How are you going with that? How are we going with that? Nervous laughter, eyes looking down. Oh no, what's going to say? He said now. It's amazing. Do you think he really meant everything? Or do you think Paul was just going, I like to hear my voice, I like to write, I'm a great writer, so if I look the word everything in there, it'll make me look more spiritual. We don't know what he's thinking, but Paul says commands, almost, if he can do such. The church to do everything without grumbling or complaining. I wonder if tomorrow you could have a grumble-free day. Do you reckon you could do that? Let's be positive about this. Do you reckon you could do a grumble-free day tomorrow? Yes. Oh, you're killing me, people. I love the honesty. It's great we're getting more honest these days. But what if we try to do it? What if we try to actually follow what the Bible says? That's a novel idea. What if we try to do that tomorrow? So tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off, you don't do it right this morning and go, oh, 10:06. The first person you look at, you don't grumble at them. When you look in the mirror, you don't grumble. When you get downstairs to the fridge and you open the door to get the milk out for your cereal and you realize there's none left, don't grumble. Is it possible? When you hop on in your car or on the bus or on your bike and there's a whole lot of traffic and someone cuts you off and you don't give them the peace sign, what aren't you going to do? Grumble. When you get to work or school or uni or wherever it is and you flick your computer on, it takes 25 seconds for it to boot up because it's not a Mac. What aren't you going to do? Because for 25 seconds longer, you are not communicated, you have not got all the information in the world at your fingertips. Because you're not with Telstra and your phone drops out, and you don't have intercommunication with every person in the world for about 10 seconds, what aren't you going to do? Grumble. When you face a cranky person tomorrow, because that's going to happen, right? Well, there's always going to be trouble, isn't there? What aren't you going to do? When you get the really bad thing happening, when you get home from work, and it's time to relax and you sit down in a remote control that's not where it's supposed to be for your children's opinion, what aren't you going to do? Grumble. You're going to hop up, you're going to do what everyone did in the old days. button. And you walk back, and you're not going to grumble, and you sit down and go, that's the wrong station. And walk back again. A whole day of not grumbling. Is it possible? I think it is. But what's this grumbling all about? Well, let me tell you what it's not about. It's not about ever confronting or admonishing. There are times that there needs to be correction when there's injustice or for the sake of community things need to happen. But grumbling is very different to that. You know what grumbling is? Grumbling is a reflection of a spirit of ingratitude. Grumbling is a way to rationalize my lack of thankfulness for all the things that I actually have. All the things that God's given me. And grumbling chokes our hearts. It blurs our vision. It keeps us from joy. And let me tell you, grumbling in a marriage, in a family, in a team, in a workplace, in a life group, or in a church, is absolutely toxic. Now, God's people have been grumblers throughout the centuries, haven't they? Just go look back all the way back to the Old Testament. And God describes the earliest Jewish people 11 times as being grumblers. He had just delivered them from 400 years of injustice and oppression and slavery. And for goodness sake, they come out and they grumble because they're not getting the food that they want or the comfort that they want. All that God has done for them. And they grumble. Some would say, and I'm sort of leaning towards this, could actually be true, that grumbling might even be sinful. Paul wrote to the Romans and he said this, for though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wherever we're thinking about ourselves and what we don't have, ingratitude becomes present. Now, I didn't want to scare the kids this morning, but go home and read 1 Corinthians 10:10 and see how God dealt with grumbling people in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Remember that? Remember it? 1 Corinthians 10:10. Go home and read it. It's amazing. We might deal with that around here for 15 minutes. No, we won't. You'll find out what I mean when you have read it. But Paul says, do everything without grumbling. And this is really important. He is not saying, go through life with a chronically negative complaining spirit within you, but just never speak it out. God's not saying that. Paul's not saying that. I think God is on. The only way for us to go through life without a grumbling spirit is to have gratitude. Have a grateful heart. And gratitude is more than a Hallmark card. It's not more than some nice platitudes. Gratitude means being humble enough to acknowledge that I have been given a whole lot of stuff from God. And I can just never pay him back for that. And I've been given a whole lot of good things from a whole range of people, and I just can't pay them back. So it's living life with this fierce appreciation for all of creation and all that you've been given. I mean, who wants to be known as ungrateful? Don't you want to be known as grateful? It's not a thought we have very much often, is it? It's not a thought that we think about too often, is it? Being called grateful. So what's your plan to be grateful, to thrive because you are grateful to God? I want to suggest a few things this morning because no one trips into gratitude. It's a little bit like no one trips into forgiveness, right? You actually have to make a decision to forgive. For often for us, because we have got this Western society of I have all these sins, that we actually have to decide and think about the sinful gratitude. Now I reckon most of us want to be grateful, but I reckon the reality, if we're honest, is this when it comes to gratitude. I will be grateful to the extent I receive things in my life to be grateful about. Does that make sense? I'll be grateful to the extent of what I get that I like. So the more good things I have, the more grateful I'll become. You know, if God wants me to be grateful, then God should give me more of what I want. And if I always get my wishes gratified and my desires fulfilled, I will always be grateful. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, if you're a parent out there, did you ever raise a child that way? Did you ever say to your child, "Oh, honey, tell me every single thing that you've ever wanted, and I will give it to you so that you are grateful"? Has anyone ever done that to their children? No. What do we call children that get everything they want and they don't even think they deserve it? What do we call them? Spoiled. And brats. That's that word again. That word came up. I've never thought of brats. Is it like a cartoon or something? It's a dog. A dog. Okay. I think the word a brat first. German subject second. Spoiled. No one likes being known as spoiled, do they? I wonder if spoiled and ingratitude have some sort of link. Like bad fruit, spoiled, it's not good for anything. See, the interesting thing is, often we think increased gratitude does not increase gratification. Let me try it again. Increased gratitude does not come from increased gratification. Increased gratitude does not come from increased gratification. We constantly make this mistake. And Paul goes on to talk about it. He goes on to say, let me give you the rest of that Philippians read. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. In other words, gratitude is not a matter of the circumstances I inhabit. It's actually about the person I become. It's not about all the stuff that I get that makes me grateful. It's actually about the person I'm becoming. And Paul goes on, because in this letter he's writing a thank you letter. The letter to the Philippians is actually a thank you letter. They've been supporting him whilst he's been in prison. And he goes on to say, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. And he goes on to make this thank you letter a teachable moment. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned that the secret of being content is in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this. I can live in all circumstances through Him who gives me strength. And Paul is saying that contentment, that gratitude, is something that is not something I experience if I get what I want. Contentment is a learned skill. It's an acquired mindset that is based on your appreciation of who God is in your life. And this actually brings us to one of the great paradoxes of gratitude. Often it is those with the least. Those who don't have much at all, who seem to be the most grateful, that seem to have the most gratitude. And those who have the most, who earn the most, who have the most, who get the most, seem to be the least grateful. And you go, it doesn't make sense, does it? If we get more and more, shouldn't our gratitude level rise? But that doesn't seem to be the way it works, especially in the Western world. It makes no sense. Why does this go on? Well, there's a researcher from Harvard. His name is Sean Akers. I encourage you to go and Google him. A-C-H-O-R-S, I think it is. Akers, like anchors without an N. He's done some TED Talks. But he's done major research around happiness. Major research around happiness. And he's spoken all around the world. And he was invited to go to Soweto, which is in South Africa. Has anyone been to Soweto? A couple of people? It's not Chapel Hill, is it? It's not Chapel Hill. It's anything but Chapel Hill. And here you have this Harvard-educated living guy going to the poor Soweto, where half the place doesn't have electricity. They're running water where you just wouldn't drink it from the Western world. And he said he's there with students from high school and a couple of university-age students. And he said, how am I going to connect Harvard and happiness studies with these people? And so he thought he would start to bond with them over a universal issue, a universal thing. And he said, I want to talk to them about schoolwork and homework. So he asked this question. He wanted to bond with them over a universal dislike of homework and schoolwork. So he asked a rhetorical question. How many of you love homework and schoolwork? Now, if we ask that question here, I don't reckon a whole lot of people would be sticking their hand up. He said he asked that question, it was meant to be a rhetorical question, and 95% of the people there stuck their hand up. Without a blink of the eye, with no irony, and they beamed. It was like, it's so cool we get to go to school. And he said he realized something then, about happiness, about gratefulness, about joy. That it's not the circumstances that help us to understand if we're grateful or not. He said, here he is, a Harvard-educated guy, working hard with students, and if he asks his students that, he said they'd be like, oh, I've got all these papers to write, I've got exams, I'm so stressed, it's so much, I've got 2 exams this week, I've got 4 assignments due in the next 3 weeks, I am so busy, I'm oppressed because of all this study. And he comes to these people who have nothing, or at least very little. And they're like, we're so thankful we get to study. We're so thankful that we get to read and write and learn. We're so thankful that we get to show what we know, because what will happen then is we might get a foot up like our parents never had, and we might get a job that pays. We're so thankful. Both groups can be asked the same question, and one says, grumble, grumble, grumble. And the other says, I'm so grateful. Why is that? Same situation. They're both students studying. Friends, I have to tell you that gratitude, which will help you to thrive, is not based solely on your situation or circumstance. You know what I reckon those Soweto students were? Let me go back to it. I reckon they were like stars shining in the sky. Stars shining in the sky. I remember, I remember being in Thailand a number of years ago, and it had been a busy week and a half, and it was a Sunday, and they invited all the leaders from all the different churches around the place. And so I was there to do some preaching at that Sunday church and then do a little bit of leadership training with them. And has anyone ever been to a service that you don't understand the language? Okay, yeah. It's hard, isn't it? It's quite difficult to sort of engage, yet somehow you engage. But after 2.5 hours, I was like, I haven't even started speaking yet. I wish these guys would hurry up. Don't they understand time here? I prepared, you know, and they just keep going on and on and on and on and on. And I turned to, what was his name? Not Bernard. Oh, I forgot his name off the top of my head. Anyway, I turned to the guy who was interpreting for me, and I said, so, how much longer is this going to be before I get to sit? And he goes, oh, that should not be too much longer now. I said, well, what are they singing? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Here are these people who have nothing, and they can't stop thanking God. And here's me who feels like he has everything and has a right to say what should be happening when. No gratitude until that moment. Why is it that 2 people can be in the same circumstance? The same school, the same job, the same line, the same worship service, and one be filled with gratitude and the other one grumbling.
Why is that? Well, here's what I think and what I've seen. Because what some people perceive as a right, other people perceive as a gift. Does that make sense? What some people perceive as a right, some other people perceive as a gift. For me to be grateful, and for you to be grateful, we must see what we are getting as a gift, not something that we deserve. Because as long as we feel that we are entitled to something, we cannot fully experience this gratitude. I mean, gratitude means that I perceive something good coming into my life, and I'm thankful to that person who has good intentions for me, and it's not something I deserved even, but they've given it to me. And this is why Israel thanked God so much. They thank God for everything. Quite often at a meal, they wouldn't just say grace, they wouldn't just say rub-a-dub-dub, God, thanks for the grub, or whatever prayer that you say before grace. They would thank God for the bread. They would thank God for the day. They would thank God for the meat. They would thank God for the grapes. They would thank God for all sorts of things in a meal. It was a long occasion. But we see Israel thank God for food, for rain, for security, for deliverance, for each other. And I think they've got to realise something about this. See, for me to be grateful, I must see what I'm getting as a gift that I did not deserve. And the reason is this. When we feel like we're entitled to something, it actually kills gratitude. If I feel like I'm entitled to get this, it kills gratitude, doesn't it? Think about it. This has been true for me. When I get something the first time that I didn't expect, didn't deserve, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And I get it a second time. No, this is awesome. I'm so blessed. This is great. And I get the third time. Hey, cool. That's right. This is what the norm is now. I get the fourth time, the fifth time. It's like, yeah, this is good. This is nice. And then I don't get it the sixth time. What on earth is going on? Why didn't you give this to me again? I deserve this, don't I? Entitlement kills gratitude. There's one of the greatest accounts of gratitude is in the New Testament. It's found in the book of Luke, Luke 17. And I'm going to just read that really quickly to you. It'll come up on the screen as well, and then we'll talk about it. As Jesus was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, this account of healing is different from lots of different ones. You know why? Because this guy returned. If he had just been like the other 10, we would have gone, "Oh, great, another miracle of Jesus." But one of them returned. And so when we look at this, we go, well, those ungrateful other 9, don't we? Why didn't they come back? What's wrong with them? 10 were healed, only one came back, and Jesus makes a point of this. I guarantee you, I think I can guarantee you, I like to think anyway, that if you went out and found those other 9 ex-lepers in the street, those other 9 guys who had given life back, who now could be a part of society, who could now worship with everyone else, who could now hug and hold their family, if you were to find them on the street and say, "Are you thankful or grateful?" I reckon all nine of them would have said, are you kidding? Of course we are. I am so grateful. This is awesome. But only one of them came back. And when he came back, he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. Because here's the thing. There is a big difference, enormous difference, between feeling gratitude and expressing gratitude. Here's what I think. Nobody likes to think they're guilty of ingratitude, do they? It's like being told you're greedy. No one likes being told they're greedy. And we say, we're not greedy. We're not greedy. And when someone tells you that you're ungrateful, has anyone been told they're ungrateful? I mean, I have. Anyone? Well, there you go. People aren't even told it. Wow. When you're told that you're ungrateful, you go somewhere. Because most of us know when we lie, when we steal, when we gossip, when we cheat, when we're unfaithful, but very few of us know when we have ingratitude in our lives. And when someone says that to us, we kind of go, hang on, I'm not ungrateful. And we begin to think of all the things we're grateful for, don't we? I've got this and this and this and this. No, I'm not grateful. You don't know me. You don't know me. In fact, I may not blab about it all the time, but I have a lot of gratitude. And here's the thing, and this is why it's important for us to talk about this. Because when we talk about gratitude and being grateful, your life will thrive if you begin to engage with this. Because our relationship's about not just God, but others. And Andy Stanley says this about gratitude. He says, people in your life experience unexpressed gratitude as ingratitude. Now, if I was asked you this morning if you're grateful for something, you could probably say, yes, oh, I'm grateful that my so-and-so made a meal for me. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my small group. I'm grateful this person prayed for me. But when you don't show or say you're thankful, I wonder if you like the one or the nine. See, the one was like a Samaritan. And this guy comes back to Jesus, and Jesus could have spat in his face, but he didn't, did he? He healed him. And here's a question. Are you going to be like the one or the nine? And the reason I ask that is because if you've heard nothing else this morning, the next thing I'm going to show you is a thing that is the bottom line for gratitude. And this is a paradox. This is the paradox. The best way to experience gratitude is to express gratitude. The best way to experience gratitude is to express gratitude. And you can do that anywhere, anytime. You can do that right now with God. You can thank God that you've got your 10 feet pointing forward and not up. You can thank God that you have food in your fridge, that you have a roof over your head, that you have clothes on your body, that you have fresh running water, that you have a society in which you can go to a hospital if you're sick. But it doesn't just stop with God. Perhaps the greatest expression of gratitude, because we say we love God, but the way we show we love God is by loving others. That's the test. And so here it is. Paul starts a letter to the Philippians and he says this, I thank God for you every time I think of you. Let me ask a question. Who is God calling you to thank? I guarantee you, when you thank them, when you show your gratitude towards them, the gratitude and all the things that they've given to you will become more real in your life and your spirit will be lifted. Not only will your spirit, their spirit will be lifted too, which is a great byproduct, but your spirit will be lifted. I was thinking about this Friday night and I thought about Vicky and I thought, because I was looking at some photos on the computer and I thought just how amazing Vicky is as a mum. She gave birth to twins, two separate ways, because I was stuck and didn't want to come out. I went, that's amazing in itself. I'm so grateful that was her, not me. But I look at the way she raised our children, I kind of go, because, you know, I'm being honest here, I'm sort of like the guy that's... Vicky, if it wasn't for Vicky, our kids would still be in grade six. because I just wouldn't have thrived, I wouldn't have grown. Vicky is a fantastic mum. And I moved from there to thinking about my mum. And I thought about my mum, and I kind of go, I rarely tell mum how grateful I am for her. Rarely. And I thought about it, and like, as I watched Vicky Morse raise our kids, I go, my mum did all this for me. She did all this for me, and how often am I grateful that the person I've become today, if it be a half-decent person, a lot, if not most, that is due to my mum. My mum, who helped me through primary school, who helped me through sport, who helped me through high school, who helped a terrible student through business at uni, who took me to church even when I didn't want to go. And so this morning before I came to church, I posted something on Facebook about my mum because I wanted her and everyone else to know how grateful I am for her. You know what happened in my life as I wrote that? I'm like, I have got so much to be thankful for. Who do you need to thank? Who do you need to write a letter to? Even more powerful than that, you know what? Looking someone in the eye and saying, I'm so grateful for you because that is an amazing, powerful, powerful thing in your life and the life of another person. And I guarantee you that that will develop your relationship, and because of that, you will in yourself begin to thrive more. Never underestimate the power of gratitude in your life. I mean, why would you want to do everything with grumbling? Who's happy when they grumble? Well, I suppose there's a happiness for a little while, isn't there, because you get to express yourself. But long-term grumblers, they're not happy people. Is it a command we can let go of so easily and miss out on a life that will bring to others and ourselves? Let's be still.